Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Now, the Paralympics kick off today in Paris. Ireland is sending a team of 35 to France, and the expectations are high for medals. So we're joined by Damien O'Mara from RTE Sport. Hello, Damien.
Hi, Claire. How are you?
Very well. Good to have you with us. So the opening ceremony is tonight. What can we expect to see from that from the get-go?
I think there's going to be a lot of what we saw from the Summer Games in Paris mirrored. The city, the sense, we might touch on this in a moment, the sense leaving Paris a couple of weeks ago after the Olympics was that there's a great sense of expectation around the Paris Games, and it's going to be the same as we had then, where they are going to try and turn the city into a sporting spectacle. It's the first time that they're going to host the Paralympics. France has had the Winter Paralympic Games before, but this is going to be the first staging of the summer ones, and it obviously continues a run that we've seen since Seoul in 88, where the city that hosts the Summer Olympic Games then also hosts the Paralympic Games. So it's the 17th edition, the first taking place back in Rome back in 1960, and whereas we had the River Seine turned into the opening ceremony a couple of weeks back. Mm-hmm. This time around, we're going to have the Champs-Élysées and Place de la Concorde, which are going to host it. And then it's straight down to business. 22 medals on offer tomorrow. We could have a couple of Irish medalists by close of business tomorrow evening.
That's the hope.
Yeah, 11 days of what is at its core elite sport competition. 4,400 para athletes, 22 sports, 549 medals on offer. So it's like, strap in and here we go.
And the same venues in action again that we saw in use for the Olympics.
So we mentioned previously, one of the great strengths of the Paris Olympic Games was like Versailles turned into a sporting venue, the Eiffel Tower turned into a sporting venue. They only built two purpose-built venues, and part of Macron's plan initially was we turn the city of Paris into a live venue, and it's worked really well. It and you're going to see that replicated again. So the Stade de France will be the home for the athletics. The La Défense Arena, where Mona McSharry and Daniel Wiffen won their medals, will play host to hopefully Roisin Nirine and Ellen Keane and others winning medals. Versailles has been adapted for the para equestrian, and no big beach volleyball this time around at the Eiffel Tower. So if you're in Paris, you're going to have to make do with football under the shadow of the Eiffel Tower, which I think we'll all survive with.
But you mightn't get a ticket anyway, because most of them are sold.
Yeah,
aren't they?
And it's been like the sense of expectation is massive. And one thing that was really evident to be in Paris for the Summer Games was the Paralympics logo, even at that stage, was as visible as the Olympic rings.
As it should be.
And yeah, exactly. And even a lot of the advertising campaigns, you had elite Paralympians in advertising campaigns alongside Olympians. And I think that there's a massive, massive sense of expectation. There's 2.8 million tickets all in available. As of yesterday in the build-up to it, they were talking about 2 million of those 2.8 million sold. So when you consider that there will be a walk-up crowd over the course of the 11 days. So I think it's going to be, they're going to put on quite a show, and it's going to be quite an atmosphere.
And then just to focus on Ireland and our record and so on, we're sending 35.
So it's 35 it's a team of 35.
Is that small? Team relatively, is it?
It would be smaller than the teams we've sent to the most recent games. But I don't want to talk about quality over quantity, but it's a really highly stacked team. Like, you know, it might be smaller numerically, but we've got really strong darts to throw, and there are really strong sense of expectation. And it maintains what's been a really strong heritage of Paralympic sports in Ireland. Like, we've featured and medalled at every staging of the Games since 1960. It's our smallest team since 1980, but it's a quality team. As mentioned, 24 of the 35 are female, which goes to show the increases and the growth that's happened in women's sport in recent years. And like, they've talked very openly, and again, no more than the conversations you and I had in advance of the Olympics a couple of weeks ago, like, they are going there with a target of medals. They're talking about 8 to 10 medals, which would be an increase on the 7 won in Tokyo. Now, it's a long way off. 66 was our record back in London and Stoke back in 1984, but the, like, again, we talk about the depth of competition and the depth of talent that exists. Like, elite para sport and Paralympic sport, like, it is, like, you know, again, you're in the top percentile of people in the world competing in your chosen discipline.
So the aim is for, remind us how many medals again?
They're talking about 8 to 10.
Stephen
McNamara, who's the chief executive of Paralympics Ireland, there was a farewell ceremony alongside Sport Ireland in Dublin Airport, a week, 10 days ago. Mm-hmm. And yeah, 8 to 10 medals.
Okay, well, let's keep an eye on that total as we go through it then. Let's talk about the individuals then. We'll pile on the pressure, because let's hope they're not listening.
Well, they're
over there getting ready. So
they're as bullish as anybody else. Like, you know, Ellen Keane set a record in Rio when she became Ireland's youngest ever Paralympian at the age of 13. She's a gold medalist in Tokyo, a bronze medalist in Rio. She has spoken so openly about this being the farewell. And, you know, whereas some athletes shy away from the end of your career, I think for the last 18 months, 2 years, if not longer, she has been saying, Paris is my swan song and I want to go out with a hat-trick of podium appearances. Mm-hmm. So, you know, she's a woman who's bigging herself up and a woman who has, you know, proven
rightly
she can
so.
Do it in the past.
And she has an attitude that you could, if you could bottle it and sell it.
Oh, yeah, she's brilliant. And even, you know, you talk about, like, we all have connections with athletes from our own community. So, like, I grew up in Clontarf, Ellen's from Clontarf, and already, like, you can identify which house is her house because there's loads of Paralympic stuff up outside it, and the post box in Clontarf was painted gold.
Brilliant.
A couple of years ago. So, you know, she's, you know, inspiring a generation, but she's so, yeah, she's bullish. But, again, no more than, say, Daniel Whiffen. It's built out of the understanding of where you're at in the sport, and it's built out of the understanding of the work that you have done over the course of the last 4 years, well, 3 years since Tokyo, in this case. So I think Ellen's in the pool tomorrow morning. She's got a final potentially tomorrow night. Like, she could be one of those celebrating tomorrow night. She's back in action on Tuesday. So Nicole Turner, silver medalist in Tokyo. Roisin Nirine is a world and double European champion. They'll both also fancy their chances in the pool. Orla Comerford, who'll be one of the flag bearers for the opening ceremony tonight. She finished fourth in the Worlds last year. It was a race where there was a photo needed to separate the first four home, and she missed out on the podium by 0.006 of a second. So there's someone that we can talk about. The other sport that jumps out immediately is cycling. And you look at, like, Katie George Dunleavy and Eve McChrystal have basically conquered everything that they have competed in over the course of the last couple of years. So I think, listen, we talk in advance of the Paris Games about, you know, boxing being our big strength, swimming is our big Paralympic strength, cycling is our big Paralympic strength. So they'll be the two to have a particular focus on.
Okay, and just going back to, you mentioned our record tally, 66 medals.
In Stoke in New York back in 84.
Now, we have to mention Ronan Tynan in the context of that.
He won, was it
three goals and a silver.
Yeah. In athletics, I think it was like the shot put, like, you know, so there's not many people when you hear Ronan Tynan on, well, probably Lyric FM more than Radio 1, who would say there's a fellow with a pocket full of Olympic medals.
Isn't it extraordinary, though, to think about it? All of those medals and then the singing career afterwards.
Yeah, well, sure, listen, you know.
Extraordinary.
These high achievers, Claire. You
know, I
know.
They'd
drive you mad, wouldn't they?
Dealing with them. Know? Listen, we're looking forward to it. The coverage starts at 6:30 this evening, doesn't it?
Yeah, and there's over 100 hours of coverage on RTE television, mainly RTE2 television. Loads of coverage across radio. And listen, no more than the conversations we've had in the past, there's going to be success, there's going to be heartbreak, there's going to be names that we're not familiar with now who'll be household names in a couple of weeks' time. And most importantly, it is elite sport of the highest level.
Listen, we need it because we had such a come down after the Olympics.
Like, you're telling.
We are ready for this, aren't we?
I was jet lagged for a week after coming home from Paris. So I'm only starting to come up for air now at this stage. But, you know, it's funny, you do have that kind of FOMO of what are we going to do to replace this? And then you go, well, listen, the equivalent is happening now and there's 11 days to enjoy and a really, really strong Irish team.
Absolutely. Damien, thanks so much for coming in. Damien O'Mara there from RTE Sport. Back after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.